Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back at it, hour two of Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Thank you for allowing us to be with you here today, to give you that little pat on the back, the handshake, and sometimes a hug on the radio. It's a scary world we live in, technology-wise. Everyone's out to get you. Seems like there's no such thing as safe technology anymore. Everything can be used against you. Everything can be weaponized. And next thing you know, your devices that you believe to be safe, no longer so. The government, not surprisingly, has been tracking you for a long time. They store this information. They use it as ways to profile you. And they have been doing it to a much larger extent without warrants for a long time. We've learned these things. Edward Snowden, he is someone that famously exposed the government in the way that he was talking about the government tracking and using this information and doing it without your knowledge. Here, I want you to know there are ways to fight back. And this is kind of cool, all right? There's a new website. It's a new service that you can put onto your websites. If you are someone that actually operates your own website, you could put this on there, and it's a way to notify you anytime someone inside the government is on your website or doing anything to you through the website. The government has to disclose, and they have a specific way to do this, certain IP addresses. If you don't know what an IP address is, it's the specific, think of it as like the social security number for your computer, okay? It's unique only to your computer. Now, if a government address, which people can identify in certain ways if it's a government run computer, if that is a computer that's trying to access your website, that could be logged on your website. And people then, of course, can say, well, what was the government trying to do? Look at things on my, what were they doing looking at things in my government? This plugin was created by a software engineer in North Carolina. It lets administrators of websites monitor when someone's accessing their site. Getting this from Motherboard. Corporations like Verizon and AT&T, they don't like the regulations that the government had on broadband companies. So now, the government's trying to lift some of the regulations that these big internet service providers are offering. It's part of net neutrality. It's also part that the government said that these big companies can sell your data without your permission. So think of it this way too. If you go online, you are leaving these what they call little bits of information wherever you visit any other website. And I'll get to my point here in a second. But when you go to any website, it logs your IP address going to that website, okay? Everything is logged. Internet service providers are the people you use, you pay for to get internet at your house. If you go to a website, let's say you're on your computer, or if you're on a Wi-Fi and you're typing it up on your phone, and you go to whatever, KMOX.com, okay? You're sending a request to your internet service provider to get you to that website, and your internet service provider saves that information that you... they know it's you, which went to this website, KMOX.com. And then they can, now that the government has decided they're allowed to sell that information, people are allowed to buy your internet history, okay? That should be a little bit scary to you. Not just because you're afraid of what, you know, websites that you don't want people knowing you go to, whatever. There's a lot of people that have those things, those fears. But there's also other implications to this. The other implication is, let's say you go to a website because you've got this one mark on your arm and it's a real nasty mark, and you go to WebMD and you type in rash on left arm that looks like potato or something like that, and you look up these symptoms, okay? You're thinking, oh, there's nothing dirty about that. Why would I care if someone knew I went to the website and looked those things up? All right, let's say your internet service provider, in trying to make a quick buck, sells your information to healthcare providers. And now they know, well, so-and-so at this IP address was searching things on their arm. Interesting. Maybe they have a medical condition, so when they come to apply for us, we might have to bump their premium up a little to make up for knowing there's a pre-existing condition there. Okay? This is how data could be used against you. And it may sound like a tinfoil hat thing, but this is exactly what it will lead to. People are going to take your data, and they're going to find ways to use it against you. Medical, I think, is the biggest threat right now. People can say they can use it to discriminate against you. Think about this, too. What if there's, you know, every time you go and try to apply for a job, an employer does a background check on you. That company they do the background check with is able to access this big database that, you know, from these IP addresses, all of these companies that have sold your internet history, they can go look up on the archive and say, oh, so-and-so is thinking about, you know, they're looking up baby stuff. Looks like they're going to get pregnant sometime soon. We can't afford to hire someone that's going to get pregnant. It shows up on your report. Next thing you know, you're going to be discriminated against at the workplace. They don't have to say anything. All they have to say is, sorry, we decided to go with someone else. But in the report, they'll know these things because your search history was saved. Thank you to the FCC for allowing this to happen. It's a big disappointment. The Republican Congress lit this down. What they said was, internet service providers, it's their business what information they sell, irregardless, if it violates your privacy. This is why you need to fight back against this. It's so important to fight back against this. The biggest fight going on right now is a thing called net neutrality. And I am fully in favor of net neutrality. And a long list of companies are in favor of net neutrality. Some of the biggest internet companies out there who could benefit from this to say it's bad for people. It's bad for consumers. The big companies like Apple and Google and Amazon and Netflix and all of these huge, huge multi-billion dollar companies are saying net neutrality is important, not only for small businesses, but startup businesses. It's important for everyone that uses the internet. What net neutrality is the idea that internet traffic is equal and you keep your privacy. It's important. I want to mention to you, and I've talked about it before. Maybe I'll get to this next. We're running late. But Netflix has continued to join the fight for net neutrality. They've been around the bend with this one before. But to show you that all the tech companies are for net neutrality and all the internet service providers, you know, the people you pay for your internet, are all against it because they feel like they should be able to not only sell your private information, but they should be able to tell you what you're allowed to see and not be able to see. They should be able to censor information coming through their pipelines. I think that's the wrong approach. It is counterproductive, and I'll tell you why coming up next. I'm very adamant about this, and I think it's so important to go over this every once in a while. Whenever we talk about tech news, there's a big, big, big bend when it comes to the internet. And it's just like a month away, all right? We're at a fork in the road. We need to go in the right direction here or we're going to get really messed up. And I don't think that the Republicans in the FCC and Congress right now have your best interest in heart. And I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative. And I disagree with every single one of the people that decided to take this away from you. And I think it's so important to fight for it. So anytime someone says you're just doing this because you're a Republican, no, I'm doing this because I've studied up on it, and just like anything else we talk about on the show. I'm going to explain again why coming up next. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. This is Overnight America on KMOX.
Making the darkness of night a little brighter. It's Ryan Recker and Overnight America on KMOX.
And I mentioned there's a reason why I brought up about tracking the Congress. And I ran out of time, so we're going to talk about this now. Hi, welcome back. It's 11:21 in St. Louis. And now a big name has entered the net neutrality fight. They've done so in the past because this has come up in the past under President Obama and the FCC that was primarily Democrat run. They have decided to make net neutrality the law of the land, which I thought was a good thing. Now that President Trump is in, and it's primarily a Republican-led Congress, they say it's unnecessary. The regulation is overbearing. Thus, your internet service provider, you know, the people with the worst reputations when it comes to customer service, they're the ones that need to decide what you can and cannot see and should be able to censor things on your behalf. Now, Congress came out earlier in the year and they said, we're going to allow internet service companies to sell internet histories to people that want them, to the highest bidder, whatever. They should be able to sell that information. They're collecting this data. let's just be very frank about all of this, mostly because as soon as that was announced, people knew that your internet privacy was not only at risk, but could possibly go away. And those people said, well, if Congress is going to endorse this and say that your internet privacy is not important, in fact, it should be able to go to the highest bidder, we are going to track every single website anyone in Congress goes to. We're going to use this against them, and we're going to sell your internet history to anyone. I thought it was a fair point. Didn't scare Congress away. It's a huge security issue, number one. If you have someone that's elected official in either the House or Senate, and they're communicating with someone, and maybe they're going to websites that may lead to a security risk, well, that information is going to be out there. They've allowed themselves to be at threat. By the way, this happened in, what country was this? Was it Canada or was it in England? One of the two. They decided to do this very same thing, except they exempted their elected officials. Oh, big surprise. Here in the United States, at least the elected officials aren't exempt. But if someone's going to fight back, I wouldn't be surprised if that's their next step, exempting themselves from this legislation that they've passed. Now, it's important, I think, to keep your elected officials on their toes. I feel like if they're going to abuse something through the law, they should be subject to it too as well. Here's the latest thing with net neutrality. There is a day where people are going to fight back. It's July 12th. It's coming up soon. It's sound the alarm on the FCC's attack on net neutrality. The organizers call it Fight for the Futures. Fight for the Future. Okay, that's their website, Fight for the Future. And the idea of net neutrality is that information that's sent through the internet is created equal. So whatever website you go to, as long as they're legal, you know, and we're not talking about people doing illegal things online, but whatever websites and things you try to access, your internet service provider shouldn't be allowed to be the gatekeeper and say, I don't want you going to this website, or, you know, we don't like these people, so we're going to slow their website down, or in general, these people haven't paid a ransom to us, which internet service providers have done in the past. These people haven't paid us money, so they're not a preferred website of ours. Thus, the people that get internet through us, maybe they don't need to go to this website. And it's a dangerous thing to think that if you're a major corporation, you could pay off an internet service provider and say, I don't want my competition going to your customers. And then the internet service provider could say, well, okay, that's fine with us. And then they block websites. What if it got political and said, you know, you shouldn't get your news from Fox News, so we're going to block Fox News from there. You know, we don't like Infowars.com. We don't like CNN. We don't like MSNBC, whatever the website is, whatever the political lean. What if they said that and we're going to block fake news, so we're just going to cut it out so our people can't go to those websites? Should an internet service provider be allowed to do that? Well, based on the Republican FCC, the answer is yes, they should be allowed to do that. I think that's absolutely false. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. Here's the broader issue. Internet service providers and cable companies are normally bundled together, right? They want you to bundle the package of the phone, the internet, and the cable. Now that the internet is offering so much content, as in you can go on the internet, you can watch movies, you can watch television shows, you can get all of your news, you can do everything you would normally do watching cable. And now people are saying, well, maybe I don't need cable anymore. I can get all of my entertainment straight from the internet. Now that internet service providers are realizing that they have competition when it comes to internet streaming services, and now with net neutrality possibly going away, the internet service providers would be able to block your entertainment that you're getting on the internet to try to force you to buy their cable packages again. Should they be allowed to do that? The answer is no. There's a huge conflict of interest there. However, the Republican-led FCC wants that to happen. They want to allow that to happen. And we got to stop this. It's absolute nonsense. You know, it's to me, it's the government further overreaching their powers. And there needs to be some safeguards when it comes to the internet. There was a study done by the FCC. And I cite this study often, and I've been meaning to look it up, and I keep forgetting to look it up. But I think my numbers are pretty much, I read this a couple of years ago, but I think the numbers are right. There was something along the lines of 70 or 80% of the population here in the United States only have access to two or less internet service providers, meaning they can say, well, if you're going to do this to me, I'll just go in to another service. Well, think about what options you have right here. We're in a major metropolitan area in St. Louis. There's a lot of different options to choose from, right? Or is there? Not really. You get to these rural areas, sometimes they have one or zero options. You have no other choice if you want to have internet at your house to pick one of these companies that could do this to you. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. And, you know, there's a lot of things I agree on, a lot of things I don't. Normally, I side with conservatives and Republicans, and I'm very disappointed in all the congressmen that voted to gut net neutrality just because it had President Obama's name next to it. There are people that are going to stop, you know, at least try to stop this. The FCC had a public comment area where people can write to the FCC. It was overwhelming people supporting net neutrality and saying you cannot go down this course. You have to allow net neutrality to stay the law of the land. FCC voted to overturn it in May. They're still trying to get comments from the public. I'm not going to try to solicit you to talk to the FCC. What I'm trying to tell you is this is what's going on. And this is the things that the Republicans are afraid to tell you. What they're doing is siding with the internet service provider. They're allowing them to restrict your internet, whatever you do on it. They feel like they should be allowed to be the gatekeeper. And I will tell you this too. If you feel like you are someone that is in favor of free speech, if you are someone that feels like you're in favor of freedom of information, you should be in favor of net neutrality. And you shouldn't allow these companies to censor not only you, but the information you want to access. Real quick, let's go to Jerome. Hey, Jerome.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
Well, I totally agree with you. I believe in 2009, when they restricted our ability to get analog broadcasts, that was kind of the starting point of making us go to satellite and cable. And then now, you know, as you pointed out, they're making us get certain types of internet because they said, well, you can't use the internet. The stuff on the internet, you got to use our certain, you know, Netflix and et cetera products. And I think it's ridiculous. I think the government has overreached. I understand that, you know, people want to be so-called protected, but, you know, there's over-mothering. And right now, over-mothering equals smothering. And they're going to smother us. And when, I don't want to end up like Russia, where all of our broadcasts are, you know, very cut and dry and all the news is fake.
Yeah.
9% of it like we already have.
You're right. And they, in big areas, like let's look at China. Remember the restrictions China had on their internet? They would not allow anything that was against them. So they would block major websites, even like Google in China, because they were afraid that the propaganda that they were spewing out would be contradicted by the things people found on the internet. And to say that internet service providers here in the United States would be legally allowed to do the same thing, they would be able to block the things they don't want you to see that may be against their best interest, is essentially what is going to happen here in the United States. And I got to easily point out, you can't trust internet service providers farther than you can throw them. They have the worst track record when it comes to customer service, and the people are never satisfied. I don't know any single person that's ever called the internet company and said, oh, I'm glad I called them. That was really helpful. Not one. So that's the kind of things you're going to expect from them. Why would we put all of our trust in something as important as the internet in them?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it just, you just can't do it. It's wrong. You got to be able to have freedom. And like, as you pointed out, as long as it's not illegal,
yeah,
you got to be able to do that.
Good.
So the market will dictate what they want. If a certain product isn't wanted, then it'll go away. But as long as it's not legal, leave me alone. I'm an American.
There you go, Jerome. That's what I'm talking about. Get me that American flag. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Budweiser and KMOX present the Llewellyn Stumble. We'll be at 4 Llewellyn's Pub locations in the next month. Kicking off tomorrow at Llewellyn's Pub in St. Peter's. Enjoy food and drink specials and Budweiser giveaways. Watch the ball game inside or outside on the patio. This stumble doesn't stop in St. Louis. Make sure to register to win a trip to Kansas City. Winners will pregame party at Llewellyn's Pub in Lee's Summit. Take in a ball game, stay overnight at the Drury Inn, and catch an Amtrak back to the Lou. It's the ultimate stumble. Presented by visitkc.com, Llewellyn's Pub and New Bold Toyota. You'll be sold on New Bold. Your home for the best Blues coverage. America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
had a good Sports Open line earlier today. And I want to replay part of it regarding the new Rams jerseys. If you went to camelx.com, you can see the picture of them, but a lot of people making fun of them that they don't match. Before I was married, I never matched any of my clothing. And you know, I got married, and obviously my wife had to show me the light, showed my wrong ways of dressing. You are just your typical type of guy that was terrible at putting an outfit together. Yeah, I was. And I was blissfully fine with it. I was just completely ignorant to it all. Couldn't have been happier with the way I dressed. But now looking back, I realized that I was not a good dresser. Not a big surprise. A lot of guys aren't. However, LA Rams haven't learned that mistake yet. They haven't learned that matching is important. As a bunch of women will tell you, we're going to play a segment that was part of Sports Open Line from a little bit earlier today, which I thought was a lot of fun. All right, so if you missed this on Fox News earlier, Eric Bolling, now that has his own show, he was on The Five, but he has his own thing that he's doing right now. He mentioned something regarding North Korea that was kind of interesting and grabbed a lot of attention. I'm going to play it for you here because he thinks that we need to go in and take force against them at the moment.
Think about this for 1 second. Right now, the North Koreans keep testing these ballistic, intercontinental ballistic missiles. If they do go ahead and figure out a way to put a warhead on top of one of their longest range missile, 30 minutes is the lead time between firing that missile in North Korea and Los Angeles. Now, are you willing to risk Los Angeles? Or do you, I don't know, Kat, look, you and I are on the same page on a lot of these things when the U.S. isn't directly affected, but now U.S. is being directly affected by this North Korean crazy dictator. It may be time for a preemptive strike.
Ooh, what a thought. It may be time for a preemptive strike. 30 minutes is all that it would take for a missile, if not stopped, to hit Los Angeles, if they have the capabilities to do so. All right, big question. You take Eric's side on this and say maybe it's time to take North Korea seriously. Do we preemptively strike them and force them to at least give it up? 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Maybe our biggest fears right now should be Syria. Syria and North Korea together are pretty big threats. How do you think the guest answered that? Here, let me keep playing from Fox News.
I don't think so. I think that military action should be avoided at all costs. I think we should at least, if before we do that, try to put pressure on China, try to handle it absolutely every single other way, because then that's just a guaranteed disaster if we do that. I mean, we could do that. We could get them, but it's not like that they wouldn't come back.
You know, the Israelis took out the Iranian nuclear setup in the 80s, they said, you know, this is getting very dangerous for the Middle East, certainly the Iranians. And they preemptively went to a preemptive strike on the Iranians and wiped out their nuclear program, at least set them back 20 or 30 years. Why couldn't we do it? It's not a bad idea to start thinking about doing that with North Korea.
Okay. Do we at least think about it? It was interesting. If I remember correctly, that was sanctioned by the UN when it came to Israel. I believe the UN was on board with that. I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure they were, though. So do you take that same idea and say a preemptive strike after North Korea finally gets the ability to shoot a missile that could reach Los Angeles with a nuclear head on top of it? Do you say, you know what, then it's time. Then it's time. Sanctions don't work. Diplomacy don't work. They'll do what they want and they'll continue to be a threat. Is that when you finally say this is the time to do it? Now, we do have a real threat, a big one. Tensions rise against Syria. Russia and Iran and Syria are sending warnings to the United States after the United States shot down an aircraft in Syria, a Syrian-controlled aircraft. The U.S. had it downed the Syrian jet a day earlier after it dropped bombs near a U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Force conducting operations against the Islamic State group, adding that there was something they would not tolerate, especially when aircrafts get too close. These things, you got to call the threat, you got to call the bluff. We know Russia is one of those countries that are going to find a way to not only walk up and tiptoe to the line, but then cross it, because their attitude is, what are you going to do about it? Well, that's not the right attitude for President Trump. It's not the right attitude. Russia, a key ally of the Syrian president, called on the U.S. military to provide a full accounting as to why it decided to shoot down that Syrian bomber. Does the United States, do they owe anything to Russia? Do they owe anything to Syria? I don't think they do. But it wouldn't hurt to try to explain this to them. Russian Defense Ministry said that in a statement, all collision jets and drones flying west of the Euphrates River will be tracked as potential targets. Areas of northern Syria west of the Euphrates were controlled by the Islamic State before Syrian government forces captured most of them in the recent months. It's the second time Russia suspended a hotline intended to minimize incidents with the U.S. You know, this is just a friendly reminder that Russia's not on your side. Iran's not on your side. Syria's not on your side. They are our enemies, okay? If you think that they're going to side with us, they are not. They don't have the same interests as us. You need to be very careful with them. So I think they are the big threat right now. This is what we need to deal with. North Korea? Not yet. I feel like they are all talk. But here's the thing. North Korea is like the crazy girlfriend. You don't know what they're going to do. They might go crazy. They might one day get up and say, you know what? I'm going to post every indecent photo of you that I've taken. Like, here's one of you picking your nose. Here's one of you on the toilet on accident. Here's one of you doing this. Here's one of you doing that. All right. It's the crazy girlfriend that one day says, I'm going to just blow up everything and air out the dirty laundry. North Korea is kind of like that in the sense that they can just flip the switch and be crazy anytime they want because they're already unstable. They're someone that they won't listen to other countries. Diplomacy doesn't work. They have no intention to follow the rules. They are on their own. They march to their own beat, right? So here's the thing. I feel like they're not at the point where they would try to take on the big dog like the United States, but they're just crazy enough to do it. They're just crazy enough to do it. You know, they start drinking their own Kool-Aid. All right, so you can sound off on that at Ryan Recker on Twitter, ryan.recker@kmox.com. You can always reach me that way too. Coming up, have you seen the new jerseys from the LA Rams? They are ugly. We're going to play a segment from Sports Open Line a little bit earlier because we discussed that very thing. I thought you'll get some enjoyment out of this coming up on Camo X.
Last night while you were sleeping, the world continued to turn. Start your new day the right way with Total Information AM and get the world all over again. Wake up to world, national, and local news. Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes. The world of sports, plus business news, and so much more. Total Information AM, St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. It's the Cards and Philadelphia Phillies tomorrow night. Emron pregame show 5:10. First pitch 6:05. Hear it here on your home for the best Cardinals coverage, KMOX.
Looks like the Nuge is going to step it up and step it down. Stranglehold, yo. Even Ted Nugent has come out and said, I need to cut back on the rhetoric dial. Wow. All right. I think we didn't really talk about that, but it was kind of interesting to see him. So earlier today, Sports Open Line, no Cardinals, and Alex Ferrario was in. He was hosting the show. And right before the end of the show, he welcomed me into the studio, and I wanted to ask him about the new Rams jerseys, get his take on that.
Ryan, you walked in here, and you asked both Mike and I about these new Rams jerseys, and I thought, oh, well, this will be a fun conversation because everybody hates the Rams here in St. Louis, and now they're even uglier.
Yeah. If you go to camox.com, the article's up on there. It's just basically Rams stuck with mismatched jersey combo. Fans hate the results. This looks like an 80s, like you go in for the class photo type of deal. 1980s, they have like the neon lights with mirrors in the background. Isn't that weird looking?
Yeah, well, that's their way of spicing up their life out in LA, I guess. I don't know. It's ugly.
I should have printed this in color, but you're telling me the helmets are dark blue. They looked black and white to me.
They looked dark blue, didn't they, Mike?
No, I think they're navy. Yeah, like and they navy. Were better in the 80s, so maybe they're just trying to make people think of that.
Maybe they're just hoping that people that come to their games are doing drugs so that they just look better to them on field.
Well, I can tell you that my wife is someone that has always made fun of me for not matching my clothing. She'll look at something like this and say, how in the world can a professional team not match their colors?
See, my wife makes fun of me because I match my clothes.
Oh, yeah?
And I don't go out in public with them, but, you know, you get home, you put on gym shorts, and I have white gym shorts, and I'll take my collared shirt off and then a white T-shirt. She goes, do you always wear white on white? It's like, why? I'm sitting at home. She's like, it just looks stupid.
90s boy band, white on white.
I was like, what? Speaking of 90s boy bands, okay, so I got tickets. My wife got me tickets to the concert at Scott Trade Center on Saturday night. It was New Kids on the Block, Paula Abdul, and Boys to Men. I wanted to go for Boys to Men. Big Boys to Men fan. Mm-hmm. Knew nothing about New Kids on the Block. I knew about Paula Abdul, but knew none of her songs. I have never seen so many, trying to put this, but middle-aged women that...
Box of wine crowd, you know.
They were on their feet losing their mind.
Whoa.
And I saw Donnie Wahlberg thrust way too much in leather pants.
Was it a good show, though?
I love Boys to Men.
Yeah.
They're just amazing to me, but... I didn't know one song of New Kids on the Block. Do either of you know any songs of New Kids on the Block?
Yeah, the Step by Step. Didn't they do that one? Or not Step by Step.
Mike's just shaking his head.
Step
nothing.
One and The Right Stuff. I know those two songs.
Those two. I knew Step by Step, and it was only after that it played. I was like, oh, yeah, I know this one.
Mark Reardon's had me record quite possibly the worst Christmas song ever.
They sang a Christmas song.
Made by New Kids on the Block.
They sang a Christmas song at a concert. There was snow on stage. It was horrendous. I tweeted it out when I got there. I said, there's probably six guys in here, and all of them are sitting there with their arms crossed, just like staring.
No lines to the bathroom. That's a nice advantage.
It was, too. I was like, man, this is perfect. This, unlike a Blues game, I could walk into the bathroom and leave in 10 seconds. It was a horrible concert, though. Great Boys to Men, but horrible
the
concert.
The rest was, you'd wish you wouldn't have stuck around? No. Paula Abdul wasn't good?
She stayed at the back of the stage the entire time, which makes me believe she was lip singing. She was dancing the whole time. So I'm like,
does she still have those sobriety issues?
I don't know.
Remember, that's one of the reasons she got kicked off American Idol.
Oh,
that was
really?
Like some of the reports.
I thought
a long
it was because she
ago.
Was having affairs with contestants.
Oh, that maybe.
Well, Paula
she's
Abdul
got her issues.
So, hey, she looked good for her age, though. But, and she could outdance me.
Oh, are you a dancer?
No. God, no. Please.
So no great dance-off in the park later.
No. Well, you can have a dance-off with maybe somebody out in the park already, but I'll stay away from that.
I don't have any dance moves. That was from earlier. Total Information. No, excuse me. Sports Open Line. Alex Ferrario and our producer, Mike Anderson. Let me ask you just this general question, Mike Anderson. Michelle Obama brought up the thought that men, you need to change your outfits more. It's unfair that women have to change outfits so often. Men don't have to change their outfits. When you go home, you have your comfy clothes you wear around the apartment, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
How often do you change out of them? Like, what's the appropriate amount of time you're allowed to wear those clothes before you need to change them?
See, I have a drawer at my house that I dedicate to the clothes that I've worn but aren't ready for the hamper yet.
Really?
So basically, when I get off work, unless I'm going to work out or something, if it's just comfy time at the house, I'm normally putting the same shirt on.
So you have a rotation? How do you know how many times you've worn them?
Well, if there's not, like, pizza roll sauce all over them, they're probably good to go the next night still. Not saying for, like, going out, but yeah, around the house.
Do you have shirts that potentially haven't been washed in 2 years in there?
No. I would say the longest would be 2-3 weeks.
2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's different. I would say that
sweated in shirts.
No, you're right. When I hit the house, you know, I got the sweatpants or the comfy pants and a shirt I wear, right? Just very simple. I'll probably wear that for at least a week, maybe two in a row.
Right.
Because it's the only thing I wear around the house. I feel like it's, you know, it's not contaminated from going outside. As long as I keep them inside the house, I feel like that's the right way to handle it. Now, I learned that Alex, when he goes home, wears all white. He looks like he's going into like a, you know, a boy band music video or something where the air is going to hit his head and his hair is going to, like, you know, flow in the wind and there's going to be like a ocean behind him, things like that.
Yeah, he practices dancing in front of the mirror on a nightly basis.
Does he do that? I've learned all kinds of new things from you. I don't practice dancing. I got to say that I may be the worst dancer in this building.
I'm going to give you a run for your money on that.
We need to have an anti-dance-off. All right, coming up next, we continue. This is interesting. The reports out of Virginia are the shots fired self-inflicted. Kind of a sad set of affairs. We're going to look at that. KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.